Wing TV, with Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani. The revolution is being televised.
Hello, it's Friday, October 28th, and you're watching Wing TV. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing TV. As everybody knows by now, I'm sure, Lewis Scooter Libby has been indicted by Patrick Fitzgerald. I guess there were five counts, right?
Mm-hmm.
They came down. Among those charges against him was obstruction of justice, making false statements to a grand jury, and also perjury, among others.
He was accused of doing that twice.
Right. Now, the indictments against Libby come from the fact that when he testified before this grand jury, before the indictments came down, this was in the preceding months, he said that he got the information about Valerie Plame, that's the CIA agent. He said he learned this information from the press.
Mm-hmm.
But then, when they subpoenaed his notes and he had to present them to this grand jury, from his notes, it showed that he got this information from Dick Cheney, the vice president. So obviously now we have a little conflict there, don't we?
Yeah. And I wouldn't hold my breath to see anything happen to Dick Cheney. If anything, they'll pick off some flunky who works for Cheney.
Right, yeah. And also, last week there was an article in Alternate by a guy named Jan Frel. And he said that his sources, these are from Democratic sources that he admits to, he said that Colin Powell said that he only told two people about the Valerie Plame memo. One was Dick Cheney, the other one was President George Bush. Now, who's George Bush's right-hand man? Karl Rove, of course. And who is Dick Cheney's chief of staff? Lewis Scooter Libby. So all of this information is going right back to the top. And I guess for the best way to really look at what happened here with Joseph Wilson and so forth, it's in our book, America Before the Fall, where we did that interview, remember, with Ray McGovern.
Right, right.
And this was back on a reality radio network. And Ray McGovern doesn't come out and tell the truth about 9/11. That's one of the big faults that he has.
He didn't tell the truth about the CIA either.
Right. Yeah.
We asked him about the drug running.
Yeah. Well, he did admit to it. He just kind of...
He disavowed any knowledge.
Yeah.
And he was talking about the CIA being an organization of integrity.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah. But he does really hit the nail on the head when it comes to what Joseph Wilson found in regard to Niger and also this yellow cake, uranium, and
right.
so
and
forth.
I like Ray McGovern. I'd like him a lot more if he'd tell the whole truth instead of some of the truth.
That's right. So before these indictments came, or the indictment came down today, I was pretty much with a litmus test. I was saying if they're going to stop at Libby, and if they don't go after Rove, Cheney, and so forth, then this has been an entire waste of time.
And we haven't seen anything about Rove or anyone else, just
right.
Libby. And apparently Libby's resigned now.
Yeah. And like Lisa was saying before the show is, just like George Tenet, what was it? Somebody needed...
Falling on the sword.
Yeah. Somebody needed to fall on the sword. So they threw out a scrap of meat, which is Scooter Libby.
I wonder if a deal was made there. You know, you can get this guy if you leave these
right.
two alone.
No.
It's not inconceivable.
For the sake of full disclosure, this investigation is going to continue.
Uh-huh.
But what it reminds me of is what they did with Bill Clinton. Is they're just going to drag it on forever and ever and ever until 3 years passes, and by then the administration will have been wound down already.
Right. And remember what a farce the Ken Starr investigation
right.
turned out to be. Remember who Fitzgerald works for. He works for the government.
That's right. That's a very, very good point. And as far as we can see, there's sensationalists on the internet, remember, that are saying Bush, Cheney already indicted. They were saying they're going to hand down 22 indictments
and
today.
And they were saying they were indicted months ago.
Yeah, exactly. And they're saying we're ready to pop our champagne corks and so forth. It looks very anticlimactic.
And you want to know something else? If their information had been true, and you know who we're talking about here,
yeah.
then that means they would have had to have inside sources for that information, because no other reporter, with maybe the exception of Judith Miller,
right.
knows this stuff.
Yeah, and it's like
how do they have these inside sources?
Well, it's like I wrote in the lead article today on Wing TV. It's the worst interview ever. It took place between Jack Blood and Tom Flacco. And I said, these unnamed sources that they're always referencing, always referring to, but never name, There aren't any.
You know what it is?
There aren't any.
They can't seem to write any article that without that huge element of intrigue.
Yeah.
Like they're going for the Agatha Christie approach or something.
Yeah. And nobody else in the world, no other journalist in the world or researcher mm-hmm. can get this information. Only them. And, you know, I think once and for all now, this is the final nail in their coffin, that they're finally discredited. This was so anticlimactic. There are no unnamed sources. This is business as usual in the Beltway in Washington, D.C. Nothing has changed.
Right.
Nothing.
Right.
Nothing at all.
And if you're waiting for Bush or Cheney to go down, you're going to be waiting a while.
You can wait for Santa Claus on Christmas Day, too. Now, I got to tell you something, Lisa, that's happening. Mm-hmm. And this happens every year on homecoming weekend here at Penn State University. Now, this university has 42,000 students. It has the largest Greek system in the country. In other words, there's more fraternities and more sororities at Penn State University than on any other campus in the country. So that means there's a lot of stuff going on. Well, the stupid sorority girls, what they do every year on homecoming weekend is they go out at 5 o'clock in the morning and start camping out for the homecoming parade, which starts at 6 o'clock that evening. So they have to camp out on these cold sidewalks for 13 hours. And you've seen them do it before.
Yeah, it's completely idiotic.
Yeah.
And they always camp out in the cold weather or the wet weather.
Yeah. Now, this morning it was 32, 33 degrees here, very cold. And to sit out there for 13 hours just twiddling their thumbs is so preposterous. And then what happens is these are the pledges, the girls that aren't in the sorority yet. So then at about 5:45, 15 minutes before the parade starts, all of the regular sorority girls and the frat boys come and kick all the pledges out of the spot that they've been sitting at for 13 hours, and they have to go way behind the crowd. Now, I bring this up because considering that we have this huge fraternity system here, and the males, the stuff they have to do,
mm-hmm.
is they'll have to, like, do the laundry for the frat boys. They'll have to clean their underpants.
They're expected to kiss butt.
Yeah.
In order to get into these sororities and frat houses.
And they're off to stand there with the newspaper, holding it until the frat boy wakes up and takes it from their hand. All these preposterous things. And I bring it up because...
Do their laundry.
Yeah, do their laundry. These are the people that end up, these frat boys, that end up running the country and sometimes the world. If you don't believe me, look at the last presidential election.
Right, and these pledges, they will do, I think, anything to get into these houses.
Oh, absolutely.
They are so sucked into the whole group mind thing.
Yeah.
It's disgusting.
Well, in the last election, it was George Bush, John Kerry, both from Skull and Bones, the ultimate frat boy mentality. And these are the people that run the world. And it starts to remind me of this mentality, and not only the mainstream media, you know, this company man syndrome, this frat boy system, but also in the alternative media where you have, you know, a network like GCN where they're all just lockstep company men that don't speak out against anyone else. And it all goes back to the company men, go back to the frat boy mentality. And I'll tell you what, if you put your faith in these company men, you're basically putting it in a frat boy mentality. It's so disgusting.
And I'm like, what some people say we tell people. We always tell people to think for yourself.
Yeah, that's
always.
Right.
I don't think there hasn't been a show we've done that we haven't told people that.
Now, before we jump into some of the bigger stories, real couple quick things. Monday, Peter Schenck on Wing TV, we're going to talk to him about RBN and his recent dismissal, his recent firing. Also, we got an email from Jan Hoyer. She's one of the 9/11 Truth Mafias. And she was kind of upset about our story yesterday, the transcript about the OKBIC and how it was corrupted. And the story in particular that she was upset about was how at the D.C. Truth Convergence, when Chris Emery was giving a speech about the Murrah building, the OKC bombing, and when he was talking about bombs inside the building, he said Jan Hoyer was so disgusted by this notion that she, like, harumphed and then turned around and stormed out of the room.
She rolled her eyes and walked out of the room.
Now, how would we have known about this story when we weren't there? We didn't attend this.
Yeah.
Well, the reason, she said, you guys have sunk to new lows now. Well, the story came straight from Chris Emery's mouth, her good friend.
Big clue here, Jan. You better go ask Emery
why
he said that if it didn't happen.
Exactly.
He's a liar.
Yeah. Now, we're going to get to a couple other things, but first, Lisa did some investigative journalism yesterday. She told you about this story where we got the call. Take it from here.
We got a call Monday night from a man who didn't identify himself, who threatened us with a libel suit if we didn't remove our article very quickly about Ground Zero and Paul Isaac, the auxiliary fireman, former auxiliary fireman, who spoke to us that day. And
read the message that he left.
Okay, I'm going to try and read this without my glasses. I dropped them. This message is for Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani. We met at Ground Zero on 9/11, and you ran a story on it the next day on your website. Well, we have a videotape that will bury your story, so I think you'd better retract that article very quickly or you will face a libel suit. He goes on to say, the videotape we have refutes the version of what is portrayed on your website. God bless you. And then he says, see you next year at Ground Zero. Now, I have to tell you, he didn't say it the way I just said it.
Right.
He said it very sarcastically.
Very menacing.
Right. He had a very menacing tone to his voice. And then he hung up, and he didn't say who he was.
Right. Now, Lisa hit *69, got the number.
Right.
So then, tell what happened after the show yesterday.
After the show?
Well, you called the number.
Oh, okay. I called the number, finally, because I tried to trace it in a... you know, other ways before then. So I finally called the number yesterday, and a woman answers the phone, a woman named Margarita, very nice lady. And so I asked her, you know, I tried to find out if the call came from there. I wanted to make sure I had the right number. *69 isn't going to give me the wrong number. And so finally established that it is the correct number, and then I asked her if there's a man at that number who had access to the phone.
Well, it was a cell phone that this number was from.
And so she said, no, you know, I have a husband and I have a son, but my son's in Florida and my husband was working on Monday night. So then finally get to that she has a daughter. Her daughter was home with her on Monday night, and I don't know what made me ask, but I asked her. I said, well, do you know a person named Isaac, by the last name of Isaac? And so she says slowly, well, I'd have to say, yes, I do. I said, Paul Isaac Jr.? And so she says, yes. I said, your daughter wouldn't happen to be dating Paul Isaac Jr., would she? And she says, yes.
Now,
bingo.
What happened here was that this woman, she's an elderly woman, she keeps her cell phone in her bedroom, and she says every evening at 9 o'clock, she goes downstairs to watch television.
With her mother.
With her mother.
So this call came in at 9:23 p.m.
So she would be. So she would be downstairs.
She went downstairs at 9 p.m. Yeah.
So, Paul Isaac, now this is the guy that we wrote the article about, that on the fourth anniversary of 9/11 came up and said that all the policemen and all of the firemen knew that 9/11 was an inside job. So Paul Isaac was over there dating this woman's daughter, and he sneaks into her bedroom after she had gone downstairs.
Yeah.
And calls our number on her phone, this woman's phone, and leaves this prank call for us. What a sneaky coward.
Yeah, well, he didn't have permission to use her phone or go in her bedroom, and she leaves her phone in her bedroom. Paul, what were you doing in your girlfriend's mother's bedroom?
Yeah, and so Lisa got all this. She tracked it down, got the inside story. And as I said last night, I says, this is what we have to go through.
Yeah.
I mean, this story must scare the hell out of them. Not only 9/11 on trial, but that all the firemen and all the police officers in New York City, via the admission by Paul Isaac.
The question is, nobody put the clamps on Paul Isaac's mouth until 9/11 of this year. What about all the other articles that he's been quoted in by various reporters over the last few years? Is he retracting? He wants to retract all of those too? Are we all lying, or is the common denominator in every single instance the one who's not telling the truth now? Paul, you said these things. It's true. It was a controlled demolition. Stand by your words. Hold your head high. Be a man.
That's right. And he also tried to use these same strong-arm tactics on Christopher Petherick at the American Free Press, where he was trying to say that he wanted a retraction or some kind of statement refuting what we said. Well, Petherick ran our article on the front page, lead article, and they haven't refuted this article yet. So the people out there, the powers that be, are scared as hell about not only the controlled demolition, but the gag order that has now been admitted to by people in New York City. And Lisa said there's other articles now that are running this information, quoting the article about Paul Isaac.
Right. In fact, I found an indie media post from April 15th, 2005, by Paul Isaac, where he's offering to give people information. And he's asking for people to contact him. And he says that he contacted some major websites to try to give them information and never heard back from them. And he didn't name those. But he said they will show themselves as time moves on. I mean, I copied this post. Paul, You know, maybe if you don't want to be quoted, you should probably stop talking
so
about
much.
It.
Yeah. And one last thing is, anybody that tries to pull these little cowardly games on us, we find who you are, we track you down, and as Lisa did yesterday, she nailed Paul Isaac. We don't stand for this kind of stuff. If somebody wants to contact us, here we are. Email us. If you call us, give us your name. Don't send anonymous emails. That's cowardly.
If you want to talk to us so badly, Paul, we've invited you to come on our show.
In fact,
we dared you to come on our show, and I dare you again, because I'll stand before anybody or anything and stick by my words and your words, because there's nothing wrong with my hearing, just my eyes.
And we have witnesses that have saw this. Now, real quickly, some other things. We were talking yesterday about the Muslims and the Christians. Remember I was saying, Lisa, why isn't the Muslim world speaking out about 9/11, especially when they know the truth? Well, Patriot Jim Kujua down in Florida sent an email real quickly. He said, for the Hegelian dialectic to work, that's the thesis, antithesis, synthesis.
Right.
He says, both sides have to be controlled. Correct? He says, Zionists control the good Jewish people, and the Islamics control the good Muslims. And he said, to me, Islam is a fraud like Zionism, and both are integral in establishing the new world order. What an insight, huh?
Something to
very, very good insight on his part. Also, take a look at our lead article today, The Worst Interview Ever, Jack Blood and Tom Flacco. And when we don't listen to Blood anymore. We don't listen to Alex Jones anymore. If there is an interview or something on the show, somebody sends it to us and we listen
right.
to it, because we just can't put ourselves through that
heartburn.
Yeah, the heartburn, the hype, the fear-mongering, the censorship.
It's like listening to the mainstream media.
Yeah, to the infomercials for buy my video. But anyway, somebody sent us this Blood Flacco interview, so we listened to it. And the one big thing that Jack Blood doesn't seem to be able to differentiate between, Lisa, and you're the one to point it out, was the difference between news and gossip.
He doesn't care. It's not that he can't point, discern between the two. He just doesn't care. It's all news.
To him, everything is news, that everything's meshed together.
Right.
So if you have an article about Bigfoot having sex with Laura Bush in the Oval Office, and they conceive a love child, this is the same as, say, a Michael Chosadovsky article on global research, or something that Jim Mars has researched for 10 years.
You know, something of substance,
yeah.
Fact.
And then he goes on to say that it's his responsibility to report on all this stuff. Well, even when everybody knows that it's a lie, Blood still thinks that he has to report on it.
You know why? Because he said, if people are talking about it, it's news.
Yeah, so, you know.
I talk about my laundry. Does that make it news?
Yeah, why don't we all just talk about O.J. Simpson? And everyone was, is that really, what the alternative media wants to focus on? Especially when everybody has discredited now Flacco and his cabal of liars. Well, anyways, so Blood goes on to say is all that he wants to do is put the story out there, and then everybody else has to go out and verify it. Well, what kind of journalism is that?
He even said, it doesn't matter if you verify it.
Yeah.
Just talk about it and accept it.
Yeah.
And it's exemplary.
So if Tom Flacco comes out and says, the moon is made of green cheese, then Jack Blood comes out and reports it. He says, Tom Flacco says from unnamed sources that the moon is made of green cheese. Now, everybody out there, you have to go verify it. This is news. Well, Jack, it's not news. It's gossip, and even worse than that, it's lies. These guys have no unnamed sources.
Talk about
an unchallenging
yeah. interview.
And the worst thing of all was he had Flacco on for about half an hour, and Blood didn't once ask him about all the discrepancies in his article, about how he couldn't even spell Barbara Olson's name right, the Polish-Austrian border.
Lyra. Flacco made excuses.
Yeah,
he was up and late and
yeah.
doing it in the dark.
Flacco himself had to actually bring this information up. Blood didn't even ask him about it. And as I say in the article, if Flacco was on Wing TV, those would be the first questions we would be asking him. That's what real journalism is. And Jack Blood is like Larry King. It's like total softball.
Flacco,
total company man crap.
There's this new invention. It's called electricity. You can turn a lamp on so you can see, especially something as important as the Barbara Olson arrest.
That's right. So think about all this stuff. Read these two articles on the Wing TV homepage. Paul Isaac, he must just be dying.
Well, you're such a coward.
To see what a worm Lisa made him look like.
If you ever did that to my mother would kick your ass.
That's right. And finally, there's a guy named Wendell Leahy that just came up with a new blog. It's called 911controldemolition.blogspot.com. Take a look at that. 911controldemolition.blogspot.com has a big picture of us holding the 9/11 controlled demolition banner in front of the White House. And it's good that more people are pushing the controlled demolition.
And we thank him very much. Thanks, Wendell.
Right. Tonight we'll be on Alex Merklinger's Mysteries of the Mind. And other than that, just keep your eyes open, folks. As you can tell from what we're saying to you today, there's so much going on in the world. The whole grand jury thing is a royal disappointment. It's business as usual in D.C. And anyone that expected differently has to take a pill to get rid of their naivety.
You all haven't been expecting too much to come out of that, have you?
Right. Anyway, we'll be back on Monday on Wing TV with Peter Schenck. Until then, keep your eyes open because there is a lot going on.
Have a good weekend.